Now, I'd like you, if you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn into Luke chapter 5 with me this morning. And I want to share something that's been in my mind just the last couple of weeks. What you're not going to get this morning is a theological, doctrinal, expositional chapter or verse or anything like that. What I want to do is read a number of different scriptures that are connected with a thought or a word or an idea, okay? Let's look at chapter 5 in Luke's Gospel. So it was, as the multitude pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. That's an amazing experience that Peter had. It wasn't Peter at this point, but the disciples. Amazing. The privilege of being able to provide a pulpit for Jesus on the water. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he'd stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they'd done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. How about that? What a wonderful story that is. An encounter that Simon Peter had with Jesus. And of course, Simon had many, many encounters with Jesus, both before and after his resurrection. But the phrase that I want to just bring this morning comes in verse 4. Very, very simple. That after Jesus had spoken to them, after he had taught them, after he'd sat in this boat, he then turned to Simon and he said, "You launch out into the deep." You launch out into the deep. And that's what I want to speak about this morning. That God calls us into the deep. He wants us to go further into the deep. Out of the shallows and into the deep with him. And here, in this particular story, of course, it must have been incredibly difficult for the disciples because they were the experts after all. And Jesus was really not fully known to them at this point, and they didn't really understand who he was, though they'd had glimpses of him. But when Jesus said to them, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch," Simon struggled with that, didn't he? He said, "Well, you know, we are the experts and we've been here all night and done and caught absolutely nothing. But nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And you'll notice that Jesus asked him to put down the nets, plural, which he didn't manage to do, but he did put down a net. So he went some of the way to doing what Jesus told him to do. But Jesus, of course, as he always does, amazed him with his generosity and his greatness, so far superseding Peter's faith or even his level of obedience. And that's an amazing thing, that you and I, we are, I believe, called to go deeper with Jesus, deeper into the knowledge of God, deeper into the ways of God, deeper into the understandings of God. At His Word, we are invited to do that, to follow. And, you know, Peter was brought in verse 8 really to a place of real repentance, which always follows a revelation, doesn't it, of the Lord Jesus. When we really see the Lord Jesus, it brings us and our own situations, our own personalities, our own needs, our hearts. It brings us really down into a place of humility, a place of humbling, a place of stepping down from the high places that we think of in our minds and letting Jesus renew our thinking. And Peter, dear man, he realized in the light of the generosity of Jesus, not only in the bountiful provision of the fish, but in the way in which he had handled Peter's life at that point, Peter comes to this place where he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." I wonder this morning, as I've been looking into my own heart, I wonder whether you have something in your heart that wants to go deeper with God. To really know Him, to press into a fuller knowledge of Him. Maybe, I was thinking about this, of course, knowing that Andrew and Julie were going to be here this morning, and I know for them they have really launched out into the deep in a very practical and real way, and a massive way, haven't they? The steps that they have taken in obedience to the Lord is huge. And they've come out of the shallows and are going into the deeps and to trust Him in totally new ways beyond anything that they've ever experienced before. And that's not been in my heart, thought, "I'll fit this to that particular situation." It wasn't like this, but the Lord spoke to me independently. But what a challenge we've had this morning. But for all of us, there are steps, there are callings. It doesn't have to be a geographical movement to another place. It can be in the experience that we're taking, that we're going through with Jesus on right now. It can be something to do with our ministry, with our participation in the life of the church. It could be in our witness in work. It could be conditions within our family or friends. Whole host of things in which we are invited by the living Christ to discover Him in a greater and a fuller way. Hallelujah. Do you want to go deeper this morning? Amen. Perhaps you turn with me into 2 Corinthians, and into chapter 2. All of these verses that I'm going to bring this morning will be well known to you. That's not right. Sorry, I've got a wrong reference there. Maybe it's the first chapter. Yeah, sorry, it's the first, not the second, it's the first letter of Corinthians and chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2, we'll read from verse 7. And Paul says, "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." Do you know, I think this is one of the most misquoted verses in the Bible, because people, I hear it, people pray it, and you hear it spoken, and they say, "Well, eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." But actually, we must read on to the scripture and say, but God has revealed them. That's the amazing thing. There are great things that are laid up for us, but they're not. That's not a negative statement that we've got to wait for some time in the future, some millennium away. The amazing thing is that God has revealed them to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's why every one of us needs to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Of course, initially we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That is joined to God through a work of the Holy Spirit. But we need to go on with a daily filling of the Holy Spirit, don't we? But it's by knowing the Holy Spirit and experiencing Him and relating to Him that God will open up to us His deep secrets. Hallelujah. And He's so much to reveal to us. It's true that eye hasn't seen nor ear heard nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. That's been true. But they are things that are revealed to us by the work of the Holy Spirit. And all of us can press into a new depth of relationship, a new knowledge of what God has got for each and every one of us. Hallelujah. Which will be far away and beyond anything that we've been previously envisaging. Bless the name of the Lord. So are you filled this morning with the Holy Spirit? Are you in regular communion with Him? He's the person of the Godhead who relates all that God has desired in the Father's heart, and has been worked out through the activity on the cross and by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son. The Holy Spirit is the member of the Godhead who makes all those things applicable and real to us human beings. Praise God. We are called, we're invited to come, to drink, to eat freely of the banquet that God has made available to us through the revealing power of the Holy Spirit. Bless His wonderful name. Turn into the Gospel of John with me for a moment. And we can only barely touch on these things. This is the story of, again, it's a very familiar story, and I guess for many of us it's a very precious story, of the woman at the well that Jesus encountered, the woman of Samaria, the woman, chapter 4, if you're flicking the pages, did I not tell you that? No. Okay, many of you know, and I can hear you diligently turning your leaves. The woman of Samaria who Jesus encountered. You remember that Jesus invited her to give Him a drink. And really what was happening, as we've talked about this before, of course, is that Jesus was communicating with the woman on a different level. She was speaking here. He was answering from here. He invited her to give him a drink. What He was really saying is, come and share with me. Come and commune with me. Something much deeper. And the woman was confused because she says, how can you, being a Jew, ask of drink for me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water. That's a wonderful word, isn't it? If we really know Jesus, if we really have become aware of Him, we should ask. We should ask, and He will give. He's not slow to give. He's not reticent about sharing all that He has with us. He just wants to make sure that we are aware of Him. If you had known the gift of God and who it is, this is Jesus Christ, the great Son of God that you're communing with. If you knew who it was who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked. And maybe this morning, someone needs to ask. There comes a time, you know, when Jesus becomes real to us, when we discover a little bit of who He is, and then we must ask for all that he has for us. We must ask for forgiveness, for justification, for healing, for deliverance, for freedom, for life, for love, whatever it is. If we only knew who it was, we would have asked. And if you've never asked this morning and yet you somehow sense that Jesus is calling you, then ask and he will give. She said to him, "Sir," on this lower level again now, down by the well, "Sir," respectful response, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?" She realized that the well was deep and there was nothing to get to the bottom of it. But Jesus was coming at this high level. And she knew that there were deeps in her that needed to be met by Jesus. We don't need to go into the rest of the story, but you know that she had had tragedy in her personal relationships for reason that we're not told in Scripture, except that they're there. And many of us, all of us, have complexities, don't we, about our personalities, about our heart states, about our needs. Things that we've been brought up with about ourselves, things that we've done for ourselves that have been wrong. All kinds of complexities and complications about our personalities. But the amazing thing is that Jesus has fathomed the depths of every human heart. When Jesus Christ went onto that cross and bore in his body our sin, he removed all those kinds of things that prevented us from knowing him and receiving him and living in him. Hallelujah. If we look within our lives, we would despair, wouldn't we? If we look at our own personalities and our hang-ups and our difficulties and all the problems that we've brought across our path, apart from the things that we've inherited, we would look within, we would fail. Our hearts would fail. But we have the opportunity consistently and regularly to look away to Jesus, who is the answer to all these conditions. Hallelujah. He's able to heal the brokenhearted. He's able to set free the captive. He's able to forgive the sinner. He's able to put him into right standing with God. He's able to fill him with the power of the Holy Spirit and make him a new creation. Hallelujah. However deep you think your well is, Jesus has gone deeper still. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And borne in his own body our sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. What a wonderful story and illustration this is. Turn with me again then into Luke's Gospel. And this time into chapter 6, one on from where we were before. These will be well-known verses, particularly if you've been brought up in a church context. You've probably sung a song like this when you're in Sunday school. Jesus says in verse 47, "Whoever comes to me," this is 6:47, "and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he's like." Can you feel a tune coming on? He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. But he who hears the sayings of Jesus and does them, he's like the man building his house on the rock who dug deep. Hallelujah. We need to have deep foundations, don't we? Not in ourselves, but in Christ. We need to be firmly built on the person of Jesus Christ. No other foundation, Paul says, can be laid than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's the only means by which any of us are going to stand in the day when the storm hits, when the cyclones come, when the tornadoes come twisting into lives. We stand on that great rock, that unshakable rock, who is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But we have to dig deep. We have to get into Him deeply in our hearts. Hallelujah. It's very simple here, the words, three words. Verse 47, come, hear, and do. That's how you build a deep foundation. Come to Jesus. Okay, we've talked about coming to Jesus initially, but we always have to keep coming. The invitation is continual, isn't it? The opportunity is there consistently, regularly. We can come. We come, we hear, and we do. And that way we dug a deep foundation. We dig a deep foundation. Bless the name of the Lord. We come, we hear, and there's no gap between what we hear and what we do. It's all about obedience to what we hear. That's what Jesus is talking about here. It's not just enough to come to Him and to hear. It's that we come to Him, hear what He says, what He's speaking to our lives, and then do those things. Bless the name of the Lord. And life becomes simpler like that, isn't it? We can struggle with things at different stages, and we may be slow to come to Him. Lord, why didn't I come to You before with this? And have You ever said that? Why did I struggle with this on my own all this time, when I could have just come to You, Jesus? We come, and then we have to have ears to hear what He's saying to us in our coming. And in that communion that results from our coming, what's He saying to us? And when we hear what He says to us, are we going to do what He says? Because it's the man who does, the man who does, indeed. Thus, digging deep and laying a foundation that cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank You for bearing me all my foibles. What about Matthew's Gospel then, chapter 13? Big chapter on the parables. And this is a verse from the first parable. Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand the other parable. So it's a very important parable to us. And it describes a man who goes out to sow. And we're told that that seed that he sows is actually the Word of God. He sows, and some of it lands in verse 4 by the wayside, and it never even gets into the soil, and the birds have taken it and devoured it. This is the verse we're interested in this morning. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Others fell on good ground. So you've got this four-part description of the soil. And of course, they're not all separate for each individual. They're all mixed up. They're all different things that Jesus is dealing with. He's not saying, well, I'm actually a person who's got stony places, and this person's got thorns and thistles, and this is... Those conditions are in us all the time. They're part of what Jesus is saying. These are the things that where we have to be careful and where we have to attend to the soil. And you notice it when we read it, that there are some who fell on stony places, and that there was little earth, and they immediately sprang up, so it all looked okay because there was no depth of earth, because there was nowhere for the roots to go down. And therefore, when the time, similar to the other parable or story that Jesus gave, when the sun came up, they were scorched because there was no root, they withered away. No depth of soil, no root. If there's no root, then there's no standing in the day of trouble. But it's not just about the day of trouble here. This is about fruitfulness. This is about having a good heart from which there will be a yield that will be 30-fold, 60-fold, or even 100-fold. The yield of fruitfulness of our lives before Christ. Isn't that amazing? The Lord wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to bring forth fruit in all kinds of ways, particularly the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is the character of Christ, so that we become more and more like Jesus in the way that we are and in the way that we live. That's a great challenge for us day by day, isn't it? To live as He would live and to live more and more like Him. But there are other measures of fruitfulness as well. But however you think about fruitfulness, it could only happen if we let our roots go deep, and for that we need a deep soil. No depth of earth, shallow. Terrible if our lives are marked by shallowness. Wonderful that our lives can become fruitful if there's sufficient good ground for the roots to go down. If the roots go down, then it's a long way to there be fulfilling fruitfulness. Hallelujah. Are your roots down into Christ this morning so that you too are bearing fruit for His praise and glory? Let me read to you a couple of verses from the Psalms. Psalm 69. You may remember that Roger's been talking a lot a little while back now about the Psalms and the different themes that come through. Here's a cry from the heart of a man who's struggling. This is David in Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire, where there's no standing. I've come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I'm weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. What a cry from a man in the depths of his condition. What about 130? And verse 1. Out of the depths I've cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. And you could read many scriptures where there is this description of a heart that's going through difficulty or challenge, or waves that may come crashing over the life. But from the heart of the man there's a cry that goes out to God. And verse 14 it was of the previous psalm, don't go back to me, he says, deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. It reminds me of the story of Jonah. I don't know whether it does with you. The difficulty that Jonah was in on the boat, you remember, and he was tossed out into the sea. And there he was taken up by a big fish, and he was down there for 3 days and three nights, which corresponds, of course, to the New Testament concept, 3 days, three nights, which you may remember. But there in the belly of the fish, it says, he called out to God from the depths of despair. He cried out, and the Lord heard him and delivered him. And the Lord can do that. He will hear our cry. He will hear our call, whatever our circumstances may be. I want to just finish with two other verses from the New Testament. I won't turn you to it because I know Brian's been in Ezekiel, but you know there's that wonderful chapter 47 of Ezekiel where it describes the water that flows out from the temple. And there's a lovely little phrase there. As the water gets deeper and deeper, it comes to the ankles, you remember, then it comes to the knees, and then it comes to the waist. And in each case it says, he brought me through. caught me to the ankles, he brought me through. Got it to the knees, right up to my knees, he brought me through. To the thighs, he brought me through. Wonderful. Whatever stage, whatever condition, however deeply you're in, he'll bring you through. If you call, if you trust him, if you believe him, he'll bring you through. He'll make you stand. He'll put you on solid rock. Glory to his name. Bless our God. Let's turn briefly to Romans chapter 8. And we're going to close these couple of verses. Romans chapter 8, these are just amazing. We know them well. Paul says at the end of chapter 8 in verse 37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Why are we more than conquerors? I hear read lots of different reasons and what people think. I personally think it's because we don't have to do anything. We don't even have to fight. In all these things, we're more than conquerors. Conqueror is someone who goes out and fights the enemy. And more than conqueror seems to me is someone who just steps into the victory that someone else has won. You could have your own interpretation. I rather like that one. In all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. The great power and wonder of the love of God. Here it is, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The great, powerful, all-encompassing, all-embracing love of God, which we all find ourselves in by his grace this morning. Wrapped up in his love, secure in his care. Bless him. And one final verse in Ephesians. Chapter 3. Verses 17 and 18. Can't really break in there. I have to go a bit further up. I have to read the prayer because we're talking about prayer. This is one of two great prayers that Paul prayed to the Ephesians. This is the second prayer, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Here's the root, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, here's the depth, with all the saints, what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Paul prays that they may experience the love of Christ in every dimension. Hallelujah. That we all may be filled with the fullness of God. We're in his love this morning. Hallelujah. Safe and secure in the love of God. Nowhere else to be. Forever taken out of the kingdom of darkness. Translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Praise God. You're going to go deeper this morning? Hallelujah. Maybe you need to call. Maybe you need to come to hear, to do. Maybe you need to dig deeper. Maybe to step out more boldly.
maybe to affirm and acknowledge again that you are safe and secure in the all-embracing love of Christ, love of God. How rich, how free, how measureless and strong. We sang it in that last hymn too, didn't we? About the love and the depth. Can't quite remember how it went, but it referred to the love and the depth that there is in Jesus. Let's pray.